This is Emily Wright, Tech Editor and Head of Special Projects at EG, and we are back with the third We're Still Here podcast. We are still here. We hope you're still there, wherever you are. Times continue to be so very, very strange, but hopefully this weekly podcast reassures you that people still are out there. And I'm joined today by our news editor, Pui Kwan Man, who was on our very first We're Still Here podcast. So she's back to give us a roundup of this week's news. And also Lucy Alderson, so Tech Talk Radio co-host, along with Sam McClary. Lucy Alderson is appearing and making her debut on the We're Still Here podcast. So Pui, Lucy, how are you both today?
Good.
Hi. Yes, I shouldn't ask questions.
Yeah, good, thank you.
I shouldn't ask questions to both of you at the same time.
Especially when we can't see each other.
I know. We've had to turn the video off because, you know, the tech required for home working and remote working, everybody's getting their heads around it. But we've worked out that being on video means that there's too much going on and we keep getting kicked off the call. So if anybody out there can empathise with that or sympathise with trying to get your work done and having to deal with technology and Wi-Fi and broadband and getting sort of chucked off calls or freezing mid-sentence so all your colleagues
Emily
can catch you.
Emily does this quite a lot.
Yes, I know. I've been sent a number of really unflattering photographs of screenshots of me just frozen mid-chat. It's just, you know, along with where's the mute button or I was on mute, it's just one of the new problems that people have to face. But I wanted to start off talking to you both about how you're getting on week three. I think it is about week three that it's been full working from home mode. Lucy, let's start with you. How are you coping?
Yeah, okay. I just find that the days kind of blur into one. I said to my boyfriend's mum, I can't believe it's Friday today, yesterday, and she said it's Thursday today. And I was actually quite alarmed by that. I just have lost all concept of days. And Emily knows this, but I'm a keen omelette maker. And yeah, slowly but surely the eggs in the shops are depleting. Demand is high. I'm low on eggs. It's a bit of a nightmare. But apart from that, kind of keeping upbeat despite my egg fiasco, and things are good.
Well, I mean, maybe you can replace the omelette eggs for some Easter eggs next week as we head into Easter, which will no doubt feel exactly like any other normal Wednesday or Thursday or Saturday that we're currently having. But if anybody wants any omelette making tips, then Lucy Alderson is the person to go to. I do believe that cheese and spinach is her speciality, but I'm sure she'd also take requests. So there's that to think about.
Yeah.
And Pui, how are you getting on since we spoke to you in week one?
I think in week one when you spoke to me I was going a bit bananas. Week three, it's been, well, not great, but readjusting, I think. A new normal of Zoom workouts, using House Party for birthdays, Tiger King on Netflix. But my plants have never looked better now with them actually remembering to water them.
I was just saying about Tiger King is a great shout. It's totally bonkers. And I think it's just the release that everybody needs just to, you know, take faith that, you know, there are weirder things happening in the world apart from coronavirus. It's an excellent show.
Yeah, if you want any evidence that if you didn't think the world could get any weirder, then Tiger King will dispel that quite quickly. So Tiger King and omelets and Zoom workouts, all the norm. And I've been doing some Zoom workouts myself. I even managed to get my mother to sign up to a Zoom workout. It took quite a long time over the phone of explaining how to log on, but she managed it. So
what kind of workout did you do? Was it like Zumba or...
No, it was a mat Pilates class and a mat Pilates, and it was very, very good. So, good fun. I never thought I'd be talking to my mother over the phone about how to sign up to a virtual Pilates class. But, you know, things have changed. And actually, that's a really good point at which to start talking about how things are going this week in terms of real estate more widely, and this new normal and people becoming much more au fait with technology. And before I ask Pui for a bit of a roundup on how things have been going in terms of trends and big stories this week. One of the pieces that I've been working on, which is online at the moment, if anybody wants to check it out, is how COVID-19 will change the way we work forever, and real kind of deep dive into how widespread remote working is going to see a spike in digital upskilling. It's something that the experts have been warning the industry that needs to be done for months, if not years. At New York Real Estate Tech Week in November, Lisa Pickard from EQ Office said that the industry needed to get its head around the fact that over 50% of the workforce would need to be upskilled by 2022. But that there was no real threat or fear pushing the industry to do that. And that's all changed. And there is definitely a threat and there is a fear. And the upskilling is happening. So for an overview on how it's changing just the way people work in terms of their day-to-day business through things like Zoom and Microsoft Teams, and how working from home is probably going to be a much more accepted way of working on the other side of this. And also looking at the way the real estate sector is changing, portfolio management tools or Skype viewings or just the nuts and bolts of the industry and how people are being forced to look at different ways of doing things other than being on site or in an office or at a meeting in person is likely to really shift the industry. So do check that out. Pui, what have been the other big stories this week? What are you seeing and what is the mood like, dare I ask?
This week has been a real mix of ups and downs. Two big things. Firstly, the aftermath of quarterly rent day, where we saw varying fortunes from the big REITs. So Hammerson got 37% of rents owed, Intu got 29%. On the other side of the spectrum, you've got REITs like New River, which got 60% of rents owed. And it's all really down to how much of their portfolios are weighted towards essential shops. The underlying problem here, though, is that it looks like some retailers out there are taking advantage of relaxed rules by not paying when they might be able to afford it, rather than sharing the pain. So there's quite a lot of tension building between landlords and occupiers. The second topic this week is on the people front. And a few agencies have been putting their staff on furlough or making redundancies or asking staff to take temporary pay cuts, which is awful for those affected. But from a business point of view, the government has said it's going to pay up to £2,500 of wages per month to furloughed staff, which is probably why it's all happening now. In some cases, it's brought up quite a lot of questions about agency business models, on the employer side. Many of the big ones still haven't really diversified away from transactional work. What with the deals market massively slowing down and valuations still kind of up in the air, without the fee income from this, the question is, whether there's, going to be enough there to even service debt. How that debt's going to be serviced. So all in all, it's a bit gloomy, I'm afraid, except for perhaps, people in logistics. On the whole, the industry does seem to largely be adapting to working from home. One of our features this week is about what the industry bigwigs are finding is working from them. So we've been chatting to people from Mitsubishi Estate, British Land and Heinz. One of them suggests building a virtual coffee break into the working day, which I think Lucy and I just appear to have naturally fallen into, being the gossips that we are. So
absolutely.
Well, that's an excellent tip. Building in virtual coffee breaks makes a lot of sense. And it's nice to hear that in the midst of all of these very difficult and challenging times that people are, getting their heads around a new normal as much as they can. But on the cold, hard business side of things, it does sound like it's been a rough time and likely will continue to be quite rough for a bit to come, I'd have thought.
Yeah, I think so. I think while there is still just so much uncertainty out there on all fronts and all aspects, really, and there's obviously the government has put sort of measures in place to help landlords, but there's still not much yet by way of sort of direct support. So there's that aspect going on too. It's not looking like the brightest picture at the moment, unfortunately.
Well, I think that, we need to be honest, don't we, on these podcasts, as always. So while it's a little bit of a gloomy outlook, I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to come as a great shock to anyone. If that can be a silver lining, I'm not sure. But at least it won't be a shock. And Lucy, could you give us a bit of an overview on what's been going on your patch this week? I know you've got some interesting updates for us on development and development sites.
Yes, I do. So this week, once again, there's kind of a ongoing confusion over schemes under construction. So just for a bit of context, last week we saw widespread site closures as developers chose to down tools over concerns about how to practically enforce social distancing rules on site, as well as risks to workers travelling to and from work. So despite the government green lighting construction work, some developers chose to close down their sites. We even had Piers Morgan kind of naming and shaming construction workers, saying it wasn't essential. So there was a bit of tension there. However, this week we saw the business secretary address an open letter to the construction industry, once again, green lighting construction to carry on working, and he even labelled building workers critical. However, the Construction Leadership Council, which is a joint industry and government body, yesterday issued advice that all sites unable to maintain a 2 metre distance between workers should close. But this sparked quite a lot of outrage from the industry. So in yet another U-turn, this advice was withdrawn hours later. So no doubt that developers are facing a great deal of confusion actually at the moment over exactly what the guidance is and whether they should keep sites open or not. So yes, again, once again, ongoing confusion over what is okay to do, what is not okay. And hopefully next week we'll see kind of a bit of clarification once again.
Mm. And are you getting a sense from people that you're speaking to what the general consensus is within the industry about whether, you know, development should be going ahead, how safe sites are, how are people feeling about it?
Yeah, I think I've spoken to a lot of developers who have taken the decision to still keep their sites up and running for as long as the government has said that it's okay. I think some are definitely very, very concerned to keeping the social distancing rules kind of enforced on site, obviously, because the safety of workers is, you know, a key concern. But yeah, again, kind of it's confusion really over what really is okay to do, what is not okay to do. Unfortunately the confusion still carries on, I'm afraid.
I think, you know, that is such a kind of common theme throughout all of this, isn't it? There's plenty of themes that sort of are at the heart of what's going on, but confusion is certainly one of them. And without that clarity, it does make life very, very difficult indeed. And it just adds to the mm-hmm. pressure and the stress, as you were saying. Well, thank you very much for that. And it would be good to have an update next week. And we'll be coming back to that to see whether there's been some more clarification around what is actually expected and what is advised. And you've also been working on some technology stuff for us this week too, haven't you, Lucy?
I have, yes. So this week I've been kind of looking at and speaking to startup founders about how they're dealing, in times of lockdown. And as we all know, like so many companies are trying to adapt and survive to the current situation, like Poi has outlined kind of previously. But for companies who do lack deep pockets to prop up their balance sheets, such as startups, you know, this can be a really kind of incredibly worrying time. So, I've spoken to several startups. You've spoken really frankly about the struggles that they're currently facing. But also, this is also a really good time to innovate and to in order to try and adapt to the situation we're currently facing. So, you know, it's a really horrible time, you know, for people to have to deal with and companies to have to deal with. You know, there's some kind of great kind of inspiration to take away from a lot of prop tech founders who are innovating to try and adapt and survive. So I've been working on that as well.
We should flag that there's a piece coming out that Lucy's been working on, which is which will be out probably at the beginning of next week, around some of the great innovations and the great systems and things that we have as a society that have emerged out of very difficult times. And while remaining incredibly sensitive to the fact that no silver lining can eclipse the real worries and concerns that people are facing, we are where we are. And if there are positives to be drawn, then let's focus on them. So keep an eye out for that piece next week as well. I fear that our technology, as always with this podcast, might fail us at any minute. And we've been moving Lucy around her house to find pockets where she doesn't sound like she's talking through that crisp packet. Before we end up in a situation where we can't hear anybody, I think I'll probably draw this to a close a little bit prematurely, which is a shame. But I'm going to put you on the spot now, guys. I'm sorry. Can we possibly have sort of a positive message from each of you to end what has been a fair, you know, it's been fair because the situation is what it is. But there's a lot for companies to deal with at the moment. And there is a lot of sort of gloomy news out there. So let's end on a positive note. I'm going to start with Lucy.
So I think for me, you know, when we see kind of examples of the industry coming together to A, kind of help each other and to help the NHS, for example, in a time like this, it's actually, you know, a huge inspiration to see. So I suppose it's just to keep on doing good work and keep together and to get through this together, really.
Thank you very much. And Pui.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely echo what Lucy's saying. I think what we're seeing companies, you know, really step up in this time, it's just really encouraging. And I'm also, you know, just enjoying getting to know everyone and, you know, being the nosy little so-and-so that I am. I like to look into people's houses and check them out. So it's been quite nice getting to know everyone that way. And obviously also enjoying the presence of Lucy's pug, Ken, which has become now a staple feature of our working life. I don't know what I'll do without Ken once we go back to normal.
Yeah, Lucy, you might have to bring Ken into the office with you when we're back to the old normal.
I think he'd like that. I think he'd like that.
I think he would too. Well, those are two excellent points to end on. And yes, what better positive note to end on than a shout out to Ken the pug. So thank you both so much for joining me today. And thank you to everybody for listening. We are still here. We're proving it by being here every week. We will be here next week too. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.